Well, good morning. We're still talking about the soul, and I got into this series, and I was not exactly sure where we were going with this, and all this stuff felt over my head, but just kept really feeling the Lord just kind of nudging me this direction, and I felt like last week some stuff really came together, and that was really good, and hopefully today, it's a little bit of a review of last week. It's different material, but it's kind of along the same line. But I think some of this stuff is really important for us, maybe possibly dealing with some frustration in our Christian walk. And so we'll see. Hopefully that's what gets translated in this. And so remember the Hebrew word, nephesh? That's what nephesh is over 700 times in the scripture, which is a lot. That's a lot. The Bible talks about your soul a lot. And a lot of times nephesh just gets translated you. But often it's translated soul. And so if it's going to be translated soul, that's the word that's behind it, nephesh. But it's so much a part of you, it means you. And some of this can get in the weeds, you know, because, you know, we're talking, you know, philosophy and psychology a little bit and whatever. But honestly, we all know that there's different parts to us, right? You got your flesh, you got your mind, you've got your will, you've got your emotions, you've got your spirit, you've got your soul, and they're all just running different directions some days. Anybody ever been scattered a little bit some days? Yeah, you're getting pulled 100 different ways and all the different parts of you are trying to go in each of the different directions, and you end up not being very productive at all, and that can be kind of discombobulating. Anyone ever felt discombobulated? Yes. So our soul is hopefully meant to help us get unified, and unity is a good thing. So today we're going to do a little etymology and talk about the needy one. The needy one. So in your relationship, who's the needy one? Don't point any fingers. You guys ever known a person that just is very needy? You guys ever been around a child? They're very needy. Callie, I think we're finally breaking through a little bit. But just if there's something that pops in her head that she wants help with, all of a sudden it's level 10. Right? And we're just not crying, but you know, it's just so we redirect. Hey Callie, let's just say help, please, and she'll do it, and then it's done really good. And so we went through that yesterday, and so then she pokes her head out. Daddy, help, please. All right, now we're good. So she smiled, and a lot of times you guys are no better than Callie. I'm just saying, right? Are we honest enough to be honest today? Yes, it's true. We've all had those moments when we're needy people, and it's good to admit that. It's not good to live there. So, talking about the needy one, I mean, we're just going to read some stuff out of the Soul Book from John Ortberg, but he says this: a great scholar named Hans Walter Wolf wrote a classic study of the Old Testament writers, how the Old Testament writers understood personhood. So hold on a second, pause, look at me. So, right, your body, your soul, your spirit, like how would the writers in a whole different country with a whole different governmental system, a whole different set of kind of normal patterns and operating, different perspectives on how they see the world, how would they have seen a you, right? How would they describe a you, a person, a someone? How would they have thought of a someone? Because we smuggle in our own ideas a lot of times. And so just in this big book, we're just quoting a little bit of it, Hans Walter Wolf is just saying, he said, first of all, your flesh, he said, in the Old Testament, they would have understood that to be the humanity's bodily form, obviously. So not just our body, but flesh would mean our mortality. You guys remember a verse, it's in 1 Peter, I think, all flesh is like grass. You don't remember that one? What's in there? Trust me. I should have quoted it there. I should have put it up there then. But it's talking about kind of the with its mortality, physical strength, and limitations. Talking about our frailty, but talking about our visualness, the, right? Blue shirt, blonde hair, glasses, right? that part of us. So when you're talking about flesh, and that seems very obvious, but that's how they would have talked about it. But it wouldn't have just meant that. It would have meant our mortality, our limited ability. It would have talked about our, you know, in your flesh, in your strength, right? You know, in the getting ready for football season to be coming up here, and we're talking about the strength of flesh, right? That's what we're talking about. So that's what they would have thought of when they were talking about the word flesh. And he goes on, he says, Ruah, or when we've talked about it, we've had a C in there, Ruach, the Hebrew word for spirit, speaks of human beings as they are empowered, human existence with breath and will and inspiration. So now, not just our flesh, which means kind of our mortality and our being in one place at one time, spirit speaks of how we come alive, right? And the spirit within us and our will and our inspiration as being part of our spirit. Now here we get to this one. Wolf's chapter on nephesh, the Hebrew word for soul, he titled Needy Man. So that's what we're picking at today. Your soul is needy, and that's not a bad thing. So I want to try to, and there's going to be a bunch of quotes, there's going to be a bunch of verses, but I want you to just understand that often what a word that we would think as a bad thing, that is actually how your soul is built. And it's not because it's in a fallen state. It's not because that evil has pervaded the world. It's just how it was built. Your soul is needy. And when I say that, it feels like a really bad thing. But it's built for a purpose. And so hopefully, I don't know, I've spent a lot of time with this, so I understand it. Hopefully I can communicate it in a way that we walk out of this going, that makes a little more sense why I've struggled in this area so much, or why I've had discontentment here, or why I haven't seen my Christian walk either be as fulfilling or as victorious as I want to see it. So we'll point at a couple of those things today, and hopefully that will be helpful for us. John Ortberg goes on and says, the will is a form of energy. You can drive and stretch and push the will, right? What's that guy that's super popular right now? Skinny guy runs like 5,000 miles and does a million push-ups. Oh, where's Taylor? What's that guy? Yes, Goggins. Yep, he's like he is the will guy. He's like, I will myself into, he's not a Christ follower and swears a lot, but just like, he's just like super popular right now. If you're, he's kind of like the swing back from effeminate masculinity. He would be the really bad version of like, we're going to grunt our way through this, like Navy SEAL kind of thing. Like we're just going to do these challenges that are super hard. I'm glad none of you know who he is. That's good. I don't know. But he's that guy. I thought that would kind of resonate, and I thought you'd know who that was. But he's the will guy. You can drive your will. You can grunt your way through things. That's your will, okay? The mind has an endless ability to think and feel. You can direct your attention. You can focus. You can study, right? You can change your mind. You can direct your mind. Your body is your little power pack. You can place demands on your body. You can exercise it, strengthen it, hone it, force it to run for miles. But it is the nature of the soul to need. That's what your soul's built to do. Your soul's built to be needy. That sounds deflating. I studied all this and I wrote this out, but I've never actually said it before. I don't practice in the mirror or whatever a lot. You know, a lot of pastors will do that, or public speakers. I don't do that. So this is the first time I'm hearing myself say this out loud. As I keep saying that out loud, it keeps sounding like a derogatory thing. So it's not, I promise. And so we'll touch on that a little bit more. You bunch of needy souls. Right? It sounds like I'm putting you down, but it's not. It's how our soul is built, and there's a reason for that. He says, John Ortberg says, we're limited in every way but one. We have unlimited desire. We always want more. We want more time, more wisdom, more beauty, more funny YouTube videos. This is the soul crying out. We never have enough. And that is so true, right? I'm sorry. I'll do better. Yep. Needy. That's our needy soul. That's crying out right there. It's a great visual illustration. And it's so true. We never have enough. Our soul is never satisfied. It's always crying out for more. So, I mean, Is this just John Ortberg? Is this, I mean, are we just giving opinions here? Does this have any root in scripture at all? Well, let's look. Proverbs 27:20 says this, just as death and destruction are never satisfied, so human desire is never satisfied. And so the question is, how much is enough? How much is enough? And that's just it. Whatever you're trying to satisfy your soul with, and this is where it's kind of a flashback to last week. We talked about a little bit of this last week, but like, how much is enough? You know, well, I want to be financially secure. Okay. Well, that doesn't sound like a number. How do you know when you get there? I want more friends. Well, how much is enough? Two more, six more, 12 more. I want, right? And whatever you fill that in with, it's never enough. And there's the financial gurus, whenever they write about this, how much is enough? I forget what his name was. One of the gajillionaires, they'd asked him, because his life was just controlled by getting more. And they asked him how much, it's kind of a famous quote, but you guys don't know who David Goggins was either, so I don't know. It's kind of a famous quote, but they asked him in an interview, how much is enough? And he just famously said, a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. And that's the cry. And you guys, like, if you're being honest this morning, this resonates with 100% of us in here. How much is enough pie? Just a little bit more. How much is going to make my soul happy? Just a little bit more. And so whatever we're pursuing to try to soothe our soul, and so much of it is good things, but on its own, without it being centered in God, how much do you need? A little bit more. We didn't quite get there. Didn't quite put the salve on my soul that I thought. It didn't quite have the effect that I thought. It didn't quite bring the fulfillment that I thought it was going to bring. Just a little bit more. So John Ortberg says this, what if, here's a question for you. What if the real reason we feel like we can never have enough is that God is not yet finished giving? The unlimited neediness of the soul matches the unlimited grace of God. He says, the truth is the soul's infinite capacity to desire is the mirror image of God's infinite capacity to give. That's why our souls are needy and whiny and desperate, because they're built to not run out of desire, because God is infinite in his ability to give. And so that's the problem. So we'll actually talk about that a little bit more here. He says, our soul's problem, however, is not its neediness, it's our fallenness. Our need was meant to point us to God. Instead, we fasten our minds and bodies and wills on other sources of ultimate devotion, which the Bible calls idolatry. Do you remember this verse from last time? Who shall ascend the hill? This is Psalm 24. We read this last week. It's kind of what we ended with almost. And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands, pure heart, and what? Does not lift up his soul to what is false. We had a chunk of that last week. Talked about, we think all of these things are going to satisfy. And so we reach and we grab. Because we all feel this longing within us. Our souls are crying out for something. Was listening to, hold on a second, who was it? I think it was John Tyson. Anyways, doesn't matter. A pastor or a guy, and he was talking about being a really happy atheist, you know, before he found Christ. He said, I was really happy. He's like, I wasn't one of those that just was conflicted about morality or whatever. He said, I didn't believe in God, but I was a very content. He's like, I was partying hard and I was doing the things and I was good. He said, but what all of us atheists would talk about is there's this longing. He said, it's like a low hum in your soul. And it's always there. So you're not one of those miserable atheists. You're one of the happy ones. You're like, hey, I'm just, there is no God. I don't care, but I love my life. I love what I'm doing. I love hanging out with my friends, whatever. We're rocking and rolling. There's this 60-cycle hum that's just vibrating in your soul. And he said every atheist that you talk, they know that. They feel it. And it doesn't dominate their life, but it's always there, and they can't make it go away. And it's this longing, and it's a longing for God. And everything else can't satisfy. It doesn't mean they always have a miserable life. A lot of atheists do, but he was one of the group that just was loving life. But he kept, it was the hum, just this longing in my soul. That's what we're talking about. And so we're always trying to satisfy. You want to stand before the Lord, don't lift up our soul to what is false. We would call that idolatry. But trying to fill our soul, to satisfy, to salve our brokenness with something other than God. Because we all have this longing within us, right? And so a lot of times, I think our Christianity, we live subpar. And we watch some of these Christians that look like they're walking in just the thriving life, right? The Makarios life. That's the Greek word, right? For Jesus said, blessed is this one. Blessed is that one. Blessed is that word is Makarios. It means over, happy, abundantly, above, just the biggest blessing, like just euphoric blessing of life. And we see some Christians and they look like they're living like that. And you're like, I don't know if that's been my experience of Jesus. And I think sometimes we have this, or we try God. I tried God. It just wasn't, whatever. Our souls are not built to try. Our souls are built to dwell in God. And so I think sometimes that's why we have a lesser experience of this Christian walk being not as fulfilling as we think it's going to be, because Jesus solves everything, right? He does. But yet it's not always instant. That's kind of the thread of last week's message is what I was talking about. And so we haven't learned to let our soul dwell daily in God's presence and be filled up, because that's what our soul is really longing for. And so we our minds end up serving Jesus to the best extent that they can. And our spirits certainly are reaching out for Jesus. And our will gets us to church and gets us to read our Bible. But we haven't learned how to plant our soul in the presence of God. And so our soul is still longing out, crying for the presence of God, crying to be made whole in Him. I don't know, it's just some random thoughts I was having, but I think it is very much based in Scripture. He says this, the soul must orbit around something other than itself, something it can worship. It's the nature of the soul to need. You have a needy soul. It wants and wants and wants and wants, and you can't ignore that. And Jesus doesn't fix that. Jesus solves that, but He doesn't fix it, because our souls are built to keep needing. And that slide earlier, the problem isn't the neediness. The problem is our brokenness, our fallenness. It's because we sinned and we keep trying to chase other things besides God. But this continual neediness that you have is meant to point you to God, because He's unlimited in His ability to give. So He made your soul to keep wanting Him. Did we get that? God made your soul to keep wanting Him. That's the low hum that you keep feeling. That's the longing that you're feeling. That's the unfulfilledness in this Christian walk that you're feeling. That's why, because we haven't learned to just saturate our soul in Him, we sometimes keep trying to fill this longing, right? It's when you guys ever really wanted a good meal? Like you just like, oh, I want steak and potatoes. I want something hearty, right? A good meal, like a hearty meal, rich, good meal. Yes, a couple of you, three of you have eaten before. All right. I'm just trying to wake us up out of our slumber here. Josh, have you ever wanted a good meal? Oh my. Come on, a bacon cheeseburger and cheddar fries. You know, a good healthy meal. And in that longing, all that there has been is like crackers and gummy worms. And do you know what I mean? Does anyone know that frustration? And then it helps a little bit, but then you're like, ah, I'm so tired of just sugar and carbs and snacks. I want to give me some meat. Give me a meal. I'm sorry if there's any vegetarians here, but give me some meat. Give me a real meal. Give me some beef, right? Take me to where's the beef? Yes. So that's what our soul is experiencing. Like our minds are saying, love Jesus. And our spirit is like, Jesus is the answer, right? And our wills are like, read our Bible. And we haven't learned how to immerse our soul in God. And our soul is like, ooh, chips, ooh, gummy worms, right? Metaphorically speaking, we're chasing after these other things, which might not be bad in themselves, but we haven't learned to satisfy our soul with Jesus. And so our experience ends up still having a longing within us. He says, the soul seeks God. Who does the soul seek? Seeks God with its whole being. Because it's desperate to be whole, the soul is God-smitten, God-crazy, and God-obsessed. A lot of us don't have language for this. We feel the, but we don't know what it is. It's your soul saying, I want more of God. Our mind might be obsessed with idols. Our will might be enslaved to habits. Our body might be consumed with appetites. But my soul will never find rest until it rests in God. Let's look at some verses, see if this bears out in Scripture at all. Psalm 107, verses 4 through 9 says this, some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul did what? Their soul fainted. Their soul fainted with them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, his wondrous works to the children of man. For he does what? He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Guys, this is in Scripture. I love when you read books and you're like, man, that's really good and helpful. And then I always go, is this just a good idea or is this rooted in Scripture? And we can just go through Scripture after Scripture after Scripture and find what we've been talking about this morning rooted in the Word of God. Psalm 119 says, verses 25 through 29 says, oh God, you are my God, earnestly. How do we do it? Earnestly, like this, like passionately I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there's no water. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your glory and power. This is bared out in Scripture after Scripture that there's this longing inside of me. And the psalmist ends up putting words to that that we can understand and compares it often to drinking or eating, like this hunger, this thirst for God. Psalm 63 says this, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. Let's do one more verse. Psalm 103, 1 through 5 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Look at that. Okay. So first verse, bless the Lord. So we're talking to our soul saying, praise God, like bless him, do something. Soul, do something, bless the Lord. And then all that's within me, like every other part of me, bless the Lord. And then he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits. What do we do that with our mind? Engage your mind, like you're talking to, like get all the parts of you lined up before the Lord. Who forgives your iniquity, that's talking about, right, our spiritual part. Who heals your diseases, that's our physical part. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who crowns you with steadfast love. And who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Once we get our soul in the right condition, God begins to start renewing our entire life. Every part of us starts feeling better when our soul is finding its rest in God, finding its place in God. So sometimes we can be confused and we can be like, man, I just don't know. I've prayed and then this is a multifaceted answer to this. And like, but sometimes with some of this stuff, like I've already alluded to, our soul can still be restless because we haven't learned to bring our soul before the Lord. That's what the psalmist was doing. The psalmist is saying, hey, soul, bless God. Like he's telling his soul, you need to be engaged with the Lord and then you'll be satisfied. We went through those verses fast, but we could pick them apart. Like, bless the Lord. Learn to soul. Worship God. Learn to bring your soul before the Lord. The psalmist is doing that. He's saying, come on, soul. Bless the Lord. And then you'll find satisfaction in him. And so sometimes we're like, gosh, I don't know if this is all working for me. And so let me just lay this out. A needy soul is normal. Everyone say this with me. My soul is needy, and that's okay. But if we don't fill it with the right thing, you're going to still be set. Here's what happens. We want something else to fix our neediness, or we want our neediness to go away. Are you with me? Well, maybe I'll just wake up better next week. Right? And sometimes we end up bringing our soul before the Lord and we don't realize that it satisfies us. And then you're like, I'm actually doing pretty good this week. But you didn't realize that, like, you don't know what happened. Like, yeah, you know, you went to church or you spent some extra time in prayer or whatever, but somehow your soul engaged with the Lord and he washed over you and his presence filled your heart and your life. And you got a little bit of reprieve from that longing. And you're like, you know what? I just feel pretty good. And then 3 days later, you're just like, I just don't know what's going on again. I'm just, my insides are, I don't know. Your soul's getting disjointed because it needs to be brought back before the Lord again. You got to be like the psalmist. Hey, come on, soul. Bless the Lord. Be actively engaged in connecting with the Lord. So you have a soul and it's needy, and that's okay. And your soul, number two, will only be satisfied in God. There is nothing else that will scratch that itch. So the neediness is not going away. And that's what I felt like when I was preparing this, is if I could get you to understand that, because this is new stuff to me. I'm like, that makes so much sense. And in watching my life from me backwards, I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense why I was disjointed inside some of those times. It's not every answer, but this is an answer to some of those moments in our life when we're just like, what's going on? I haven't been bringing my soul before the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Come on, soul, get it together. And you can't get it together on your own. The only place the soul can get it together is in Christ. Get in, and just because you're in Christ doesn't mean your soul is in Christ. You have to take charge of your soul and present it before the Lord. I know that sounds weird, but it's in the Psalms. Like, it's in the Word of God. Come on, soul, get before the Lord. Come on, soul, stop chasing after other things and bless the Lord. Come on, soul, you're just going to sit there and be whiny if you don't get to Jesus, right? And so we can have this conversation with ourselves. Come on, self. Come on, soul. Let's get before the Lord, because that's what we're really looking for. Here's another what's going on with me. All souls are wounded to some extent. And I don't mean this to be, I mean this to be factual. I don't mean it to be like heavy or emotional or whoa. You have a wounded soul because you live life on a wounded earth. Has anyone ever known anybody that is not a Christ follower? Okay, two of you. All right. There's people out there that don't serve Jesus. There's people out there that do serve Jesus and are still mean. Okay? We can run into things that we can run into our own. Has anyone ever been disappointed just by your own expectations? No one else even did it to you. You just set it up in your own mind and you're like, oh gosh, that didn't work out how I wanted it to. You can get wounded in your own soul from your own soul. You can set it up for yourself. So we all have, this is not meant to be some kind of weird psychobabble. Let's talk about our hurtfulness. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, let's give us some insight on why we just don't always function the way that we should. And the fourth thing is really cool. God heals wounded souls. Yeah, it is really true. I can name relationships in my life that are so much better today because the other person and myself are working on our wounded souls. And we're getting less reactive. And we're seeing things differently because a lot of times that wound in me colors how I see the world. I can't keep from getting wounded. I can choose how I deal with it. And so getting that healed, it's just like, has anyone ever gotten a scratch before? Cut yourself shaving, or you walk by a tree, or you just live life with a cat or kids. Oh, I got scratched. That must be evil. I'm never doing that. No, it just happens, right? It just happens. So this is not a lot of crazy, oh gosh, what are we going to do? It's like, it just happens. You get scratches, your soul gets scratches, right? Our souls get wounded. And if you don't deal with the scratches, they get infected. That's all I'm saying. This is not a huge deal. Some soul wounds are really big and they need some extra TLC. But a lot of our soul wounds, they just need some attention. And it's not a hard thing for God to fix that. We just need to become aware of it. Need to see that, oh, that's coloring my view of people and the world and relationships and whatever. You know, it's really easy in a marriage to get wounded. It's really easy with, you know, parents and children to end up with some wounds. We chuckle about how our kids are going to have counseling later in their lives. Taylor was just joking about it. And that's probably true. And that's good. I want them to fix what I broke. Because we're all doing the best we can here. But your soul gets wounds. So Dallas Willard, he's the other guy I quote quite a bit in this. This is all sounds a little psychobabbly. Just hang on for a couple slides and we'll finish up. He says this. He says that your soul... Right, this is weird language here. It's the unity and the substance of your life, because Dallas is one of those philosophers. It's what makes you tick. It's the overall order or overall disorder that moves and organizes through your experiences. Your life consists of your experiences and how they hang together. Your soul is a power to live, and it picks up. That's kind of what I want you to see out of this. It picks up the results of your experiences. Feelings and ideas and beliefs and structures. This next slide continues this. It says, in this world as it is, wounds accumulate. The soul functions almost like a storehouse. The ordinary person's life soon becomes dominated by their wounds. And we tend to develop our strengths to handle our wounds. If you look at a mature human being in our world, he says, you'll see a person who has developed a set of strengths. These strengths are primarily used defensively to deal with their wounds. So again, this is not some weird psychobabble, oh, we're all hurt and let's just cower in a corner. That's not at all what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say, let's fix this stuff. I'm trying to say, oh, yeah, you got a little scratch behind your ear there, right? I'm not saying, oh, you're just a wounded person. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying, if you're human, you have wounds in your soul. And probably they're coloring your view of life more than you think they are. They're probably interfering with your relationships more than you think they are. They're probably interfering with your relationship with Jesus more than you think they are. That's what I'm trying to say. It's what fuels some of our habits, is what fuels some of our other brokenness, is the wounds in our soul. So we can get those fixed, some of them pretty easily, just by recognizing them, inviting the Holy Spirit to come and do what only He can do, is fix our hearts. Dallas Willard, one more slide, says, the human soul is a vast non-physical landscape with resources and relationships that exceed human comprehension. We don't really understand it, he's saying. And it also exists within an infinite environment, which at best we have little knowledge. Basically a whole paragraph saying we don't really understand all what's going on with our soul. But he says this, we only know that God is over it all and that the soul, if it can only acknowledge its wounded condition, manifests amazing capacities for recovery when it finds its home in God and receives His grace. I want the end of this to be hopeful. Like I keep picking at, like, oh, your soul is this and is that. But the end of the story is you've got the Spirit of God living in you, and God can rejuvenate this. And the end of the story is we keep tripping, I keep tripping and I keep tripping, and it's wounds in our soul and it's neediness that keeps needing to be pointed to God. And if we can see that, we're like, oh, that's what I'm hoping to do today, is to help us see that there's things that in our soul that we're tripping over, and it's as simple as Jesus, help. Okay, and all of a sudden we start living a more victorious life. All of a sudden we're more fulfilled in Christ. All of a sudden this is richer and better than we ever thought it was going to be. I didn't know that. Okay. Becoming a healthy disciple of Jesus is learning to manage the neediness and the woundedness of our soul. I was listening to a podcast a couple days ago and had gotten back around to it, and I said, man, this is really good stuff. And I listened a little bit more, and it kind of fit with the message, the series, you know, the soul series. It's actually a book on the soul, or a lady talking about the soul a little bit. And it's a different podcast. She was a guest on a podcast that I listen to all the time about leadership stuff. And she just kept talking, and I just kept going, this is really good. I need to get your book. And so I went in my Kindle and I had her book already. I'm like, oh, I already have this book. And so I just want to end today, two more slides. And it's just quotes from this Allison that I thought, you were really talking about some good stuff here. And so we'll just finish with this. She says, it's Boundaries for Your Soul. She says, having the Holy Spirit within doesn't automatically, say automatically, it doesn't automatically bring perfect peace and joy, however, because some parts of your soul can be stubborn and resist God's will. No, not my soul. Oh, don't you talk about my soul like if my soul is perfectly not stubborn. Is it? I'm just being funny. I know your soul's stubborn. In any moment, you can choose whether to walk in the Spirit or go your own way. Finish with this last slide. She says this. She says, thankfully, you can play an active role in connecting the troubled parts of yourself to the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you. You can invite him to be with them, the broken parts of you, and you can witness his power at work. In partnership with God, you can befriend and lead the unruly parts of your soul into an abundant life. And she just has a whole book full of how to manage these wounds and goofy parts of your soul that are trying to do the right thing, but are just getting caught up in being stuck. And so let's just leave with this today. You are a needy soul. Yes, you are. And you have some wounds in there too. And that's okay. We're going to fix the wounds. And we're going to take our neediness that is by design. God made you like that. You're not broken. God made you to be needy. But you can't go chasing after other things to solve that neediness. Or you'll just keep going around on the hamster wheel. Maybe it'll get better next time. Maybe this is the time. Nope, maybe I'll feel better then. Nope, maybe this guy will solve all my needs. Maybe this activity will do it. Maybe this group of people will fix it. Maybe this money will, like, no, don't lift up your soul to what is false. Remember? Don't lift it up there. Take your needy soul, bring it to Jesus. And while you're there, let him fix some brokenness. Just pray a simple prayer. God, whatever's wounded in here, help me to see that. I just pray for wisdom. Help me to see where my soul is wounded and it's affecting my fruitfulness as a believer in Christ. And it's affecting my relationships. Show me those places and help me to get healed up from that. Holy Spirit, I give you permission to search my soul and help me to live a better life. Right? It's easy prayers like that because you can't do it. But God's given you charge over your soul. You get to steward it for a while. And the Holy Spirit is here to help. And so this is a very hopeful conversation today, and we're done. But just know that you're needy and you're wounded. Holy Spirit lives in you. God loves fixing things. Amen. He created you well. Just point to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's pray. God, I just thank you for maybe some deep stuff, but I just thank you that through all this, we're going to end up walking richer, fuller, more obedient, and fulfilling lives in Christ. Thank you that we are healing up some broken parts of our soul. We're learning how to keep our soul before Christ, the only place it can find satisfaction. You're exposing areas in our life today that we're looking for things to satisfy us that are not Christ. And thank you that just... I ask that it would leave a bitter taste in our mouth because it's not going to help us. We pray for divine direction and instruction. Pray for the power of God to help change us. And we just thank you that there is hope in you for every situation today. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen.